This is Pastor Colin. Before we get into this message, I just wanted to let you know that we have been having some recording issues, and the recording quality on this message is really not up to par. I apologize for the difficulty in hearing this, but I thought this message really needed to get out, and I hope you listen, and please, again, forgive me for the recording quality on this message.
Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your name now and forevermore. Amen. I don't usually bring messages that have to do with current events, but something came. Something was given to me last week that I really felt I needed to respond to. I forget what newspaper this came from, but the story has also aired on CNN, and it's made national headlines. I don't know if you've heard this or not, heard about this or not. A Eugene, Oregon pastor who thinks church focuses too much on sin and not enough on connecting people to God is now trying to appeal to people who have been hurt by churches through a campaign called Church Sucks, featuring shorter services and music by Katy Perry and Maroon 5 at his church, One Love. Some churches have become the kind of place where you point the finger and condemn and rebuke, and you're quick to do it. And so I think that this is definitely lending itself to people not wanting anything to do with the church and thinking the church sucks, Tony Crank, senior pastor of One Love Church in Eugene, told reporters. Since September, One Love Church has been rolling out the Church Sucks message to hundreds of homes in Lane County, promising a different kind of church. Among the differences, according to the report, are shorter services lasting just over half an hour, the mixing of modern and contemporary music from artists like Maroon 5 and Katy Perry with their worship music, and a leader who is a pastor, not a preacher. I just like to have a conversation with everyone, just like I do at the coffee shop if I were talking one-on-one, Crank told reporters. There is a perception that to come to church, you've got to be perfect. Sometimes what that allows people to do is to kind of judge people that we might perceive to not be the kind of stereotypical perfect person. It turns a lot of people off to what the ultimate message of Christ is, said Kyle Cunningham, one of the church's worship pastors. During the service, I'm not going to read the rest of this because it gets really crass. It bothers me that he's using this campaign and he's just coming out and telling people church sucks. I've listened to some of his messages, and I'll be honest with you, he has a point. One of the points he brings up is the fact that a lot of people have had bad church experiences. There have been times, I know, I've talked to a lot of people over the week about this in particular. People who in particular have had bad church experiences, and I have talked to some people who, as a result of bad church experiences, don't go to church anymore at all. And there's a danger in this. It's necessary for us to gather together as a church, to worship and pray together, to learn and grow together. And that is important. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, Verse 42. Jesus says, and if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. Now, when Jesus is talking about the little ones here, he's not just talking about children. He's talking about God's children. He's talking about anyone who is a follower. And what he's talking about here is people who cause them to stumble. I'm going to tell you about my bad church experience. When I was a teenager, my family had just moved here to Pittsburgh, and we were going to a church, and my mom and my friend Will's mom got together and decided the boys need to go to youth group. So Will and I went to youth group together, and we sat there through the youth group. I don't remember what all we did, but it was pretty much the two of us sitting together. And at the end of youth group, one of the leaders of the youth group, not the youth pastor, but one of the youth leaders, came to us and said, you know, we just wanted you guys to know, this is the first time we've been here, we just wanted you guys to know, you're not welcome here. Don't come back. This was a kid who sings in the church choir, and I actually knew him from school because I can remember several times him beating me up in gym class. Good choir boy. It's things like that make someone not want to go to church. Granted, that's kids. That's kids. Sometimes adults aren't better. I don't have any particular stories about my adulthood where I felt particularly unwelcome in church. Not particularly unwelcome. But I remember visiting a church once. It was a big church. It was one of those churches you go in and doesn't even look like a church inside. It looks like an auditorium. It seated, I think, a couple thousand. And they had, I think, five services. Four on Sunday, two in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. And I think there was one on Saturday evening as well. And a friend of mine had gone to this church, and it was kind of interesting because his Sunday school class, which was specifically geared to young single professional adults, had over 200 people in it. That's just the Sunday school class. I remember going to this church for this one service, and it was really nice. You know, there was a band that played really lively worship music, and it felt really good. And listening to the pastor's message, it was really good. And then after service, I went and went home, and nobody said hello to me the whole time I was there. Thousands of people. Nobody even said hello. Well, that's the kind of thing that can turn people off. I just went to another church the next week. But there are people who experience things that go on in church that agreeably, I agree, they can turn you off. The thing is that we cannot let that kind of thing affect us personally. We need to move on. If you have a bad experience like that in the church, and you think it's the kind of thing that's going to persist, as believers, it's our responsibility to find a different church. because there are churches out there that are broken, and they're broken because the people in them are broken. It was certainly not the fault of the church that someone told me I wasn't welcome there. It was that particular broken individual. It was them. But being, as I was 14 years old, I was perfectly content to blame everybody else. That's my fault. And I think it's good that a church makes itself to be a place where people are welcome, despite their differences, despite the fact that they may not appear to belong. There's another story I read just a couple weeks ago. The church was welcoming a new pastor. And it was one of those big churches, one of those big churches that has thousands of people, one of those big auditorium-like churches. And this particular pastor had decided that, you know, well, nobody here knows me, really. I'm going to surprise them. So he dressed in some ratty old clothes and sat on the steps in front of the church before service started, asking people for change. Thousands of people coming into this church to greet their new pastor. He said three people gave him money. Of the thousands that went past him. And he went into the church and he sat in the back row. And then the worship leader in the church got up and introduced the pastor. They turned and looked and they saw this homeless man stand up from the back and walk down to the front of the church. And he got to the front, he got to the podium, and he says, "We got a lot of work to do." Three people out of thousands even talked to him. The church is broken because the people in the church are broken. I do have issue, however, with Pastor Crank's method. I don't think he's approaching it correctly. I'll admit to you, I don't know who Katy Perry is. Ruby, do you know who Katy Perry is? Is she a Christian singer?
No. She's a Christian, but she does not sing Christian songs.
Okay. They're singing Katy Perry songs. You obviously know who Katy Perry is. I don't.
I have it on my iPod, yeah.
You might have it on your iPod, okay. Should we be singing those songs in church? No, okay. Good. I don't know who Maroon 5 is either, but it doesn't sound not in church. And cutting services down to half an hour. Okay, now that sounds like a good idea to some of you, maybe. I know in the seminaries they teach that the church service needs to be an hour long. You have 25 minutes of, or I'm sorry, you have 20 minutes of singing hymns and 20 minutes of prayer and 20 minutes of message. That's what they teach in a lot of the seminaries. I knew a pastor once who, as a matter of fact, took that so seriously when he got up to preach, he'd take his watch off and he'd set it down on his lectern and he would give his message. And when 20 minutes was up, he would stop talking, whether he was done or not. I have no idea how long I'm talking. I'm recording these and there's a little timer on there, and sometimes I'm quite surprised as to how long I've been talking. I think I went 35 minutes once. Of course, I guess it really kind of evens out because sometimes once I brought a message that was 12 minutes, I could have sworn it was longer than that, but I think it evens out, maybe, hopefully. But what do you cut out of that 60 minutes? Are you, well, clearly they're singing less hymns. Clearly they're singing less quality hymns. They're probably cutting out prayer. Personally, I need more prayer. And they're probably cutting out message. Well, if the pastor's not going to be bringing messages on how sinful we are, then well, maybe they're cutting that out as well. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. A time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And in one of the translations, I really like the way they talk about it, is they're looking for people to tickle their ears. People want to hear preaching that tells them that they're right. They don't want to hear that they're sinners. Well, I'm a sinner. We need to be reminded of that sometime. How are we going to know if we're doing something wrong if nobody tells us? How is anybody going to know? I know there are some churches who teach that our sins are not sins. People want to hear that. They want to hear that the things that they're doing, even though they may know down deep in their own hearts that what they're doing is wrong, they want to hear that it's okay. Well, our sins do get forgiven. In those terms, it is okay. But we need to turn away from our sin. You know, people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It's difficult. It's difficult to hear and it's difficult to say. We don't want to say it because we don't want to offend people. Well, sometimes we need to be offended a little bit. It's how we grow. It's how we learn. Just like anything we learn, it can be difficult. Ruby's trying to learn to play the guitar. I was kind of watching her do that today. I don't know if any of you play the guitar or not, but there's a certain way you got to hold your hand, and it's really not very natural to hold your hand in that position. And at first it kind of hurts a little bit to hold the strings down, because the strings are really skinny and they're made of steel and they're really tight, and when you squeeze down on it, it kind of pinches your finger a little bit, and it hurts. And it's difficult. But the more you do it, the tougher your fingers get, and the easier it is to hold your hand in that unnatural position. It hurts to learn some things. But given time, she has the opportunity to be a good guitar player, as long as she learns and practices. Neither of which is easy, and neither of which are the things we want to do. Robin was talking to her, I said, you're going to magically just be able to pick up the guitar and play it, and it doesn't work. Life's like that. We want to be without sin, and it doesn't do anybody a favor to tell them, oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't do anybody any favors to say, oh, that sin of yours, it's not a sin. You're not doing anybody any favors by ignoring it, patting them on the head and saying it'll be okay. And I understand that people appreciate different methods of worship. I really think that's why there's so many different kinds of churches. I mean, when I started preaching here, it was made pretty clear to me right at the beginning that you all didn't want to hear contemporary music. And that's okay. I love the old hymns. Robin loves the old hymns. The old hymns are wonderful. And they're still around because they're right. And we sing them because we're familiar with them. I think we get more of a worshipful experience if we're singing something that we know rather than trying to learn something new. We do try to learn new things. I know Robin is learning some of the hymns in the songbook or ones that Robin doesn't know. Some of them I don't know. We're learning them. And they're right. But I get the fact that a worship style is important to be comfortable with as well. A church we had attended a while ago, there was a family left the church because they didn't like the contemporary music. The church was singing more contemporary music. They didn't like the contemporary music, so they found a church that did more traditional music. But they're still going to church. That's important. That's what's important. As long as you're not learning things that aren't true. Just so you know, things aren't really going to change here in the way we do things. I don't know if anybody here is under the impression that church sucks. As if you were, you probably wouldn't be coming here. You'd probably be finding another church to go to someplace, and then that's what's important. If I'm wrong, you need to tell me. Or somebody else. There's a phone number on the front of your bulletin. There's two phone numbers. If I'm wrong, call the first one. Tell them I'm wrong. If you need something from me, call the second one. That's my cell phone. If you're in a hospital or something like that, call me and tell me, because the hospital doesn't call me. The things aren't really going to change here that much. I don't think I've been right in preaching. I don't think anybody's getting off easy from the things I say. I hope they're not. I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying not to tickle people's ears. I'm trying to bring you the truth. I don't know if if you think that sucks or not. I hope not. I'm not going to sing any Katy Perry songs. So then the next hymn that's coming up is not actually in the songbook. It's one of the inserts in the bulletin. It's another hymn verse, and you probably know it, but I think it really applies. But things aren't really going to change here. You know what? I come under criticism sometimes because we have bulletins. I do bulletins because I think y'all want bulletins, right? Am I right? Everybody, does people like bulletins? Or would you rather not have a bulletin? Okay. Because I've had some of my contemporaries say, well, you can't use bulletins because then they're not really being led by the Spirit. Well, I think this is a Spirit-led church. I consider myself to be a Spirit-led pastor, and I think this is a Spirit-led church. We change the hymns sometimes. And every once in a while, you don't get the message that I prepared. I usually put the bulletins together on Sunday mornings, just so you know. Or even then, between the time I type it up and the time you get it in your hands, the message will change. That's okay. I don't think anybody minds. If you do, call the first number when you're on the front page of your bulletin. Let them know.
We'll call Robin.
Okay. I don't know how to stop preaching right now, so I'm just going to stop the preaching part. Yes,
this program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
That at the end, so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I think for us, our good and final word for today is church does not suck. We're here to be with God. We're here for a purpose. And it's been about an hour. I can't imagine calming all that into half an hour. I don't know if anybody would mind if it was longer than an hour. I know the service we go to in the morning is longer than half an hour, or longer than an hour. Usually closer to 2 hours. But we don't mind. It doesn't suck. It's not about us, anyway. It's about God. That's why we're here. We're here to be with Him, and we're here to be with one another. It doesn't suck. Maybe it sucks in Oregon, but it doesn't suck here. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place blessed. Amen.